for you guys and bring another message of God's Word. I know it's a blessing for you, but it's also a blessing for me to be able to do that. This morning we're going to talk about wisdom. If you want to turn with me, we're going to be in three different places. Job chapter 28 is where we're going to start. And then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then we're going to end up in James chapter 3. I think in looking at this word, there's times that I run into people who don't really understand what wisdom is. We all know we need it. We all know we want it. But what really is it? We know that Solomon prayed for it and God gave it to him. So this morning I wanted to take a little further look at what this word actually is, what it means. Not only what we think it means, but what God's word says. First off, Webster's definition. Wisdom is accumulated philosophic or scientific learning. It's accumulated. It's the ability to discern inner qualities and relationships. It's an insight. It's having good sense or good judgment. It's having a wise attitude, a wise course of action. It's the ability to take your knowledge and be able to put it to use. Now, that's what most of us think when we talk about wisdom, is taking what we've learned from God's Word, being able to apply it, being able to put it to use. And that, for a short definition, is what it is. But I want to start this. We're going to look at Job chapter 28 first. And I want to start in verse 12 to the end of the chapter. So we're going to read some verses this morning, which normally I don't get into a lot of reading. But I need the verses in order to finally get into James, what James has to say. So we start with verse 12. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man doesn't know its value. So Job's asking, where can this wisdom be found? Where is this place of understanding? Man doesn't even know its value. Nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me. The sea says, it's not with me. Talking about wisdom here. It cannot be purchased for gold. It's priceless. Nor can silver be weighed for its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx, or sapphire. So what we're seeing here, it's priceless. You cannot put a price on it. You cannot buy it. It's unpurchasable. That's a word. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it. Starting to sound like what John has to say in Revelation about heaven, doesn't it? That's how precious it is. Neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry of fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. Rubies was a very valuable stone back then. So we're seeing all this laid out, and we're finding out that this wisdom is a very, very precious thing to have. You can't buy it. There's nothing you can trade for it. And it's very precious. He goes on in verse 19, it says, the topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. Nor can it be valued in pure gold. So all these things, all these valuable stones, all these precious things, wisdom is way above all of this. So then in verse 20 it says, well, from where then does wisdom come? You can't buy it. You can't purchase it. I can't take gold and trade for it. Then where does it come from? And where is this place of understanding? Where is this place? Verse 21, it says, it's hidden from the eyes of all living and concealed from the birds of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard a report about it with our ears. We've heard about it. God understands its way and he knows its place. Oh, they're finding out now what this is all about. God's got it. He looks to the ends of the earth and sees under the whole heavens. God knows everything and sees everything. He knows what's going on. To establish a weight for the wind and apportion the waters by measure, when he made a law for the rain and a path for the thunderbolt. In other words, when God created everything. Then he saw wisdom and declared it. After he prepared everything, after he established everything, God saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. God knows what he's doing. He searched it out. He understands and knows what wisdom is. And to man he said, you and me, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. Now, that's not being afraid of the Lord. That's having an understanding of God. That's having respect for God. That's doing what God wants us to do. The fear of not having salvation, not a fear of God. Because if we do what God asks, there's no reason to be afraid of God. But it says here, to the behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That's our study. That's our knowledge. That's our understanding of God. That's wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. So when we get smart enough to figure out that we don't want to be on Satan's side, and we depart from that evil, then we have an understanding. Once we have the understanding, and now we've become to know God, now we're receiving wisdom. How do we get to know God? We study. We talk to him through prayer. We ask for wisdom through prayer, not shiny new cars. That's how we acquire wisdom. But it says here in verse 29, the fear of the Lord, yeah, that is wisdom. That's a very short definition of what it is. All right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 2. Now I want to start with verse 1. This is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, written in about 60 to 62 AD, about 10 years after the church was set up. And this is the first letter that he wrote to them. And he starts this off in chapter 2, and he says, I, that means Paul, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I didn't come in flashy style. I came as a simple man. To do what? Declare to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't preach anything else. I didn't come here trying to know anything else. I came here for one objective, and that was to teach Jesus and him crucified. Now, we hear people say, well, I just don't know enough to be baptized. I just don't know enough to be a Christian. If you know the plan of salvation, you know enough to be a Christian. You know enough to save yourself. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and live righteously thereafter. That's all you need to know. Paul says here, I determined not to know anything else among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. He was with them in the bad times. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. I wasn't preaching men's words. I was preaching and not with persuasive words. So he was there, he was to teach God's word. Those words fall on ears that want to hear, on hearts that want to be pierced. But in my speech, my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. God's words will speak the power you need to speak. I'm not a flashy speaker. God's words become easy for me through study in order to share with other people. If I didn't have the study behind me, I wouldn't be able to do that. There's times, you know, you hear people say, well, I'm not a teacher. I can't do this. I can't. Yes, you can. But you have to become comfortable with God's word. And you only become comfortable through study, through prayer. Paul says that he didn't come doing it with man's words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, God's words. He did it so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the reason that Paul came to them the way he came to them, and why he's explaining how he came to them. I don't want that wisdom that you have got be of wisdom of men, but of the power of God. And in verse 6 he goes, however, we speak wisdom amongst those who are mature. Those that know God understand wisdom. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. He wants to speak the wisdom of the Spirit and the power of God's words. And in verse 7, then he comes back. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't know Jesus. They didn't know what God had prepared. There was a secret. That's what Paul came to talk to them about. He came to reveal Jesus to them. He came to talk about Jesus. He came to preach the word of God to them. That's what he's telling them. And he says here, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Those things being what? A home in heaven. A place with God. But we have to see, and we have to hear, we have to receive and perceive what's going on in order for all that to happen. And Paul's saying here, and he's saying to us, these words I came to give you as a demonstration of power and of the Spirit of God's Word. We saw back in Job, wisdom is the fear of God. Paul's saying we need to know and understand God. We need to know and understand Jesus, where he came from. And that's what I came to preach. And that's what we all should come to preach. We don't need to get off into big long stories about this or that or anything. We need to preach Jesus. We need to preach the wisdom of God's word. Okay? Let's go to James. I want to start this. We're going to end up talking about verses 14, 15, 16. But I want to start this back in verse 6 and read up into those verses. So I'm going to start chapter 3, starting in verse 6. James says here, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. It's dangerous. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body. We know that tongue can waggle and say things that we wished it would never say. We've all been somewhere or done something and we've said something. It's, boy, I wished I hadn't said that. It didn't come out right. Whatever it might be. But you can't reach out in the air and bring those words back. And when our temper hits us, the words roll off the tongue sometimes faster than we want them to. And we end up saying things we don't want to. It defiles the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature as it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. He's setting an example here. Any animal out there, we can train them. But no man can tame the tongue. That's how wicked it is. It's how vile it can be. It'll say things you don't want it to. It'll let words out of that mouth that you don't want to. Then it goes on to say, it is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, we can train our mind, which works the tongue, with God's word. We can train ourselves to patience. We can train ourselves to listen with two ears and just talk with one mouth, being twice as much listening as talking. We can train ourselves to do that. But if that temper trips, that tongue's going to waggle. Been there, done that. Now with the tongue, with it, he starts getting into examples here. With it, we bless our God and Father. Amen. But with it, we also curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. So why does that happen? It happens both ways. And then he says in verse 10, out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, good and bad. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Yeah, amen, right? Then he goes on in verse 11, he says, all right, here it is. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can you have a blend of good and bad? Can you have life and have a blend of good and bad? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. He's talking about life. You can't have both good and bad in life. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. Boom, there's that word again. Alright? Back to wisdom in Job. The fear of God, that is wisdom. The doing away with evil, that is understanding. Alright? So, James is saying here, let him show by good conduct that his works are done. How? In the meekness of the wisdom. After the knowledge and of knowing God and of knowing Jesus, then the meekness that we have with ourselves, that's how our conduct needs to be. Now, he comes back, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, if you're a me person and an I person, I got to have this and I got to do that, and it's all self-seeking, go ahead and do that, but do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't be talking against God and Jesus. Whatever your thoughts are, don't be doing that. Whatever you want to do out there, just don't talk against God and Jesus. Now, it says if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, don't boast and don't lie against the truth. Okay, now verse 15, this wisdom, talking about verse 14, this kind of wisdom does not descend from above. You won't get that out of God's word. You won't get that kind of wisdom from God, the wisdom that lets you have bitter envy and self-seeking hearts. That wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly, it's sensual, and it's demonic. It's evil. earthly, sensual, and demonic. Those are strong words that's coming out of man. You're listening to man. You're gaining wisdom, believing and understanding what man wants done instead of what God wants done. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, right? Back to verse 15, it doesn't descend from above. This is earthly, sensual, demonic. And then he says, where this envy and self-seeking exist, what's going to happen? Confusion and every evil thing are there. I like that word, confused. Oh, I'm just confused. Like all confused. I didn't understand. Well, you got confused. If you're talking about God, you got confused because you're listening to false teaching. We talked about that in class. You're listening to yourself and you want to be self-seeking. You want to be earthly and sensual. And you're like an evil. That's men. That's earthly wisdom. Now, verse 17, but there is the wisdom that is from above. Oh, there's two kinds of wisdom here, people. There's a fleshly wisdom and there's a spiritual wisdom. There's a wisdom out there and there's a wisdom that God has. The wisdom that is from above. First of all, he says, it's pure. Unblemished. Second of all, that wisdom is peaceable. It doesn't create turmoil. It doesn't get into conversations that have nothing to do with nothing. It doesn't let brethren fight with one another. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's kind. It's willing to yield. Ooh, that's a bad word. You mean you might be right? Your way might be better than my way, but it's still God's way. But you're willing to yield to God's way. That way is full of mercy, full of good fruits, has no partiality, and there is no hypocrisy. There's no hypocrisy. What God says is the way it is. What do you find with man? Pretty soon, if you let him go long enough, you're going to find he's a hypocrite if he's trying to do things his own way. Because once you tell a lie, you can't bring it back. If you're going to cover it up, you're going to tell another lie to cover that one. And then you're going to cover another one up with that one. And pretty soon, you have no idea what's going on. Or if you just stick with the truth, that truth will never leave you. You always know what truth is. So we don't want to get tied up with this earthly wisdom. We want the heavenly wisdom, that from above, which is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruits, no partiality, no, God doesn't have a liking of one person more than another. There's no partiality in it, and it's without hypocrisy. You can believe what God says. He's the same today as he was yesterday, as he's going to be tomorrow. Bank. This wisdom gives the person, this earthly wisdom that he talks about, that gives the person the ability to get in trouble without being caught. We refer to it as street smart. That's an earthly wisdom. It gives the ability to get in trouble without being chastised. Because you've got friends that you're getting, you know, that you're all in a group. So you get in trouble. I don't want to bring up gangs necessarily, but that's the example I've got here. All the neighborhood kids, all of a sudden, they're all in this gang. Nobody chastises anybody for getting into trouble. And they're all looking for it. Because that's what they become. They become streetwise. And there's no shame of what's going on. There's no shame of what's happening. It just is the way it is. It's a worldly wisdom that demonstrates evil and wrongdoing, and it's completely completely against what God wants, what God expects, and what God demands. Verse 18 goes on to say, now the fruit of the righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's where it's sown. Christians, people that are following God's word. We look at this wisdom that comes from above. This wisdom gives a person the ability to take God's word, understand it, and put it to a good use. It gives us the ability to study God's word and understand what he wants from us. It gives us good sense and judgment. You don't get that with earthly wisdom. It gives us insight, a wise attitude, and a wise course of action. It's heavenly wisdom that lets us be the type of Christian person that God wants us to be. So, the question I would have here is this. Not necessarily for you, but if you're talking to someone, are you filled with this worldly wisdom that we've talked about? Or are you filled with the heavenly wisdom? Are you letting evil get into your life? Are you letting things happen and you're doing wrong things and you're not being chastised for it because that's the group that you're running with? Or are you filled with this heavenly wisdom, this peaceable, gentle wisdom that God wants you to have? It all boils down, and we've talked about it before, it all boils down to two choices. You can choose to be with Satan or you can choose to be with God. Kevin likes when I bring my hands together. Because that's the way it is. There's no middle ground. You want to choose to be of an earthly stature or you want to choose to be of a heavenly stature? Do you want God's wisdom? The knowledge of God's word, the fear of not having salvation, the want to do things right, that is wisdom. Understanding comes from the ability to get evil out of your life. That's where we come about with the definition of wisdom, being able to put your knowledge and your understanding to work in God's word. Blessings yours. Appreciate the attention, the opportunity that I had to fill this pulpit this morning. And we want to bring forth an invitation. If you've heard the word, if you believe it, if you're willing to confess of your sin and repent, confess Jesus as the Son of God, be baptized, and come out a new person and walk anew and live a righteous life the rest of your life, you have the opportunity for that this morning. Put your Lord on in baptism if you have. The other option we have is if you have things in your life, if we've talked about things that are bothering you, things that you're having trouble to let go of, you need the prayers of this congregation, you need help from us and God, we can do that also. So if you have a need, as we stand,